Together, and we'll have a little devotion this morning and consider the scriptures. And this morning I'd like to talk about the theme of how God works in the wilderness seasons of our life, how that there is grace for us in the wilderness. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us, and let's enter prayer together for a moment. Father, we do ask for your blessing on this word this morning, that you would use it to speak to our hearts, to encourage us, to build us up, to lead us, to strengthen us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There may be times in your life where you feel that you are in a wilderness season. Perhaps that season is one where you feel that God is far, that he doesn't hear you, or that you are disconnected, or that you are a bit disorientated. You are losing your way in terms of your purpose and your faith and your direction. You haven't sensed God manifesting his presence in your life as in times past. We could relate those times to a wilderness season, a desert or a valley where we seem to be far from God. But what's encouraging for us this morning is that the scripture records very clearly for us that in the lives of the patriarchs, Moses, Abraham, David, Jacob, and others, we see that it was the wilderness times that God worked so deeply in their lives. We may not always recognize that. But where God builds a believer, where he develops character, where he prepares them, is often in the dark place, in the barren place, in the wilderness place. And we may not sense God's work at the time, but it's a deep work, it's a real work, that he is allowing our heart to be searched, our character to be developed, our faith to be challenged or tested. And often it's only when we come back up to the mountaintop and we look back over the wilderness, over our journey, over the valley, that we really recognize, oh, God was working there, that God gave me something in the valley, in the wilderness, that I would not have found anywhere else. So that's our subject for this morning time in the Word. And we know that in the valley, in the wilderness, it's often a time where we are really called to live by faith, perhaps more than other seasons, because we are not getting all of the confirmations that we would normally get regarding God's favor, God's presence, God's promises in our life. For example, now, we are not able to draw near and fellowship with the saints as we have done through our Christian life. At least here in England and other parts of the world also. We don't have the liberties that we've had. We don't have the brothers and sisters who are encouraging us face to face, heart to heart, as we normally have it. But in these times, we are called to faith, to trust God. We know that Jacob, for example, met the Lord in a very special way in the wilderness. You can remember in Genesis chapter 28 and other chapters. And we could say that the way that God met Jacob in the wilderness wouldn't have happened in another place. It was for a time and a purpose and a deep work in Jacob's life. We know that Israel as a people journeyed through the wilderness, and that was part of God's work, God's plan. Certainly it had an element of discipline towards that generation, but as to Israel as a whole, there was so much that he would show them and give them and work in their lives and out of their lives through the wilderness experience. In Hosea 13:5, God says, "I knew you in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. I knew you." Some translations say, "I cared for you." The idea is that God is looking and seeing and knowing and caring for them in the wilderness. Be encouraged in that sense. Perhaps you feel a little bit isolated, literally in the pandemic, but also spiritually you feel a little bit disconnected. Like the psalmist sometimes would say, Lord, where are you? But be encouraged in this, that God would say, I know you, I care for you in the wilderness. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to those who were in exile. And in Jeremiah 31:2, it says, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give them rest. Finding grace in the wilderness. That's amazing. That tells us that sometimes a purpose of being in the wilderness is that we would discover a provision, a voice, a word, a grace in the wilderness that we might not find anywhere else. Psalm 68:7, O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah. And here the psalmist is, and many of these psalms, is the psalmist is encouraging himself as he reflects on these principles. He says, oh God, you were with Israel in the wilderness. You cared for them in the wilderness. You gave grace to them in the wilderness. And now, Lord, I look to you. And I have that sense that I am in a wilderness experience. And Lord, I need you. I want that sense that you would care for me. Give me grace in the wilderness. Help me have faith to see you, to endure by seeing him who is invisible. Psalm 78:15. He, God, split the rocks in the wilderness, or opened the rock in the wilderness, and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. These are verses of deep encouragement for us. For the wilderness, typifying a barren place, a solitary place, an empty place, a dry, barren land where no water is in Psalm 63, 1 and 2. But here it says, he opened the rock and gave them to drink in abundance. Psalm 107:35. He turns a wilderness into pools of water, or the King James says, into standing water. Isn't that amazing? That you're standing on dry, barren land, but then the springs arise and you are standing in pools of water. Here he says, and a dry land into water springs. That's a promise. That's an expectation we can have as we look to God, like the psalmist did in his trial, in his trouble. Psalm 78:52. He made his own people go forth like a sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And you would have the question, well, why, Lord? Why would you guide us into the why would you lead us into the wilderness so that you would guide us through it? And we could say, because there is much that we would find there, much that God would give us there. Look at the life of David, for example. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, as a young teenager, he was anointed to be the next king over Israel. And yet there were years of trouble and trial that he would be put to before he would actually come to sit in the throne over Israel in 2 Samuel 5. Many chapters, many years, many troubles. Persecuted by Saul, day and night, in exile, running from cave to cave. Undoubtedly, a time that David would look back to in his life where he would remember the hardships. He would remember the cold, the loneliness, the trouble, the fear. But he would also recognize the great work that God did in his life. For it was in those years that the Psalms came forth. It was in those years that many Psalms came from a depth that he found with God, that he would cry out to God in his need and in his relationship to him. He writes about rock, Jesus, you are my rock, and you give me water in a dry and thirsty land. As the deer pants for the water, God, you are my refuge. And if you go to that region in the Judean desert, and you go to the place called En Gedi, which is like an oasis, waterfalls that run down the rocks in the dry desert all the way leading out to the Dead Sea, you realize why David uses these terms. Oh, you are my rock, you are my refuge, I thirst after you. This language, spiritual language, referring to his need in a difficult place. He was brought so low, but it was there that David would seek God, would find God in such a personal way. He would cry out to him. He would meditate on his promises. The trouble and the trials would bring a song in the night in David's experience. Like Job said in 35:10, O God, my maker, who gives songs in the night. In Psalm 48:8, in the night his song shall be with me, even a prayer to the God of my life. What a wonderful phrase. This is something that is very powerful and unique in the life of a believer, that even though there may not be outward confirmations, there may not be a manifestation of God manifesting his presence to my senses, I may not have that, and yet there is a faith that can rest in God, look to God and find God, and even find a song in the night. And someone else looking at your life might say, this is a difficult time, this is a trial. How is it that you, yes, of course, we struggle and we wander and we fail and we fall, etc. But essentially, in the depth of our heart, there is a faith that looks to God. It was many years later that David would come to the throne, would sit in the throne and recognize the work of God, and recognize, I'm sure he would say, I wouldn't ever want to go through those years again. I hope that those years aren't ahead in the future. Oh, but the lessons and the treasures that God gave me, the things that he worked out of my life and the things that he worked into my life, are things that I will treasure and enjoy in my life today, right? Every one of us can look back to a trial, a time, a wilderness journey, a time of failure or a time of persecution, whatever it might be. And there are treasures that God gives in darkness. We want to allow these times to teach us. We want to be teachable. We want to look for the hand of God, for what it is that God is saying. For Deuteronomy 8 verse 2, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, and to make known what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Often it's only when we are tested that we discover really the convictions that we really have, and the strength that we have, and the decisions that we will make. Verse 3, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, or your fathers did not know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Oh, isn't that a good lesson to learn? Oh Lord, I'd love to learn that lesson, that man does not live by bread alone, but by the living word. That there is more to my life than the physical, but the spiritual, and how important that is in my life. Oh, I want to learn that. Where can I learn that, Lord? Where is the classroom? Oh, it's in the wilderness. It's in the desert. It's in the valley. I will teach you great things there. I don't want to miss the lesson. I remember in Bible college, we would have pastors come over in our dorm with the guys, and I remember this phrase, one one pastor says, listen, when you go through something, you want to find God. When you go through a trouble and a trial, oh, you want to meet God. You want to hear God, for he has something to say, something to give, something to impart. And if you go through something and you don't learn God, you have missed something so important. Psalm 84 is a wonderful pilgrimage psalm. It shows how the psalmist longs and yearns for the house of God. And this is a psalm that reflects what is in his heart as he is on his journey to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. And he is desiring to be at the house of the Lord with the saints, with the people. He's on that journey. Verse 2, oh, my soul longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Oh, the living God, that's what I seek. And sometimes when our life is running so well and everything's perfect and we are going to church on a Sunday morning and everything's great at work and my family and the sun is shining and the birds are singing, it's possible that I lose sight, that I get distracted, that I lose my focus. Oh, but on this when we led out to the wilderness again, we maybe realize, oh, I need the living God. This is what he says, I cry out for the living God. Verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in your house, they shall still be praising you. And of course, to dwell in his house, there's a literal physical element to that, but then there's a spiritual principle that we learn to dwell in his house always. And when our roots are in the house, then in our life we learn to praise, to sing. It says, blessed are they who dwell in your house. They shall still be praising you. Even in the hard times, even on the difficult journey, we can find that song of praise, that song in the night. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Again, the pilgrim journey to Jerusalem, but for every one of us as believers, we are on a pilgrimage. We are traveling, passing through, sojourners, and our heart is set on the pilgrimage as we think about where we're going and who is with us on the journey, to draw near to him, to be in his presence. This is one who is strengthened by God on the journey as a pilgrim. Over the mountaintop and through the valley, he is a pilgrim, and he's sensing sometimes and believing other times by faith that God is with him, and there is a purpose for every part of the journey. Every chapter of our life has a purpose, that God can bring something beautiful out of something seemingly so ugly. God can bring fruit out of a barren place. God can work things deep in our life from a trial that I might go through. And even at such a time as this, as we are all going through as believers in our church life and in our communities, as challenging as that is, oh, there is a work that God is doing. He is not taking any time off, but he is at work in our lives. In the wintertime, sometimes we look at a tree and we think, oh, look at that tree, it's dead. Oh, but spring is coming, and we will show that during those winter months there was a great work of preparation taking place. And back to Psalm 84, it says in verse 6, and as they pass through the valley of Baca, and Baca in Hebrew means weeping or tears, they make it a spring or a fountain. Passing through the wilderness, through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, the valley of weeping. And I'm sure we have all had to go through that valley. And yet it says, those whose strength is in you. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. When he passes through the valley of Baca, it becomes a valley of, becomes a spring, a fountain. This believer makes that valley a spring. Even in times of trouble, he can find a refreshing. But notice it says, as they pass through the valley. We don't stay there. We don't live there. We pass through it. It's a time, it's a season, it's a trial. It's an hour, it's a chapter, however we term that. And God has a purpose in it. But we pass through it. And something amazing happens as we pass through it. We make it a spring. That spring perhaps is not discovered or made anywhere else. There is something that you discover in the valley of tears, that you are yourself broken and changed, that perhaps you find an empathy or a compassion for other people that you never had before. When something breaks us in our life, there is an identification, a sympathy, an empathy, a compassion that can flow forth from our life to others. You know where that happens? We read through the scriptures and we see with different ones in different times God was had a purpose. He was breaking, he was preparing, he was building, he was encouraging, he was working deeply in their lives for a season to bring them to the other side with something deep worked in them. Very little grows on the mountaintop, but much grows in the valley. It's the mountaintop experiences we love and we pray for and hope for. Oh, but don't ever miss the evident truth that much grows in the valley. That he is working and he is with you all the way. Although sometimes it may not seem like it, trust him by faith. Because the truth is, and this isn't a popular principle or teaching, but the truth is that there are some things that only come through suffering. There are certain things that can happen in our life that only happen through suffering, that nothing else will do it. It's only suffering that can turn a valley into a fountain, that can turn a barren place into a fruitful place in my life. You may have a certain ailment, a certain physical condition. And as hard as that is, as hard as it could be seen as a trouble, like Paul's thorn in the flesh. And Paul asked for that thorn to be removed, and God said to him, "Oh, my grace is sufficient for you." And Paul realized that through his thorn, there was a grace that he would discover, a strength that he would discover in his weakness that he would find no other way. So much so that he said in 2 Corinthians 12, I think it's verse 10, I have learned, I glory, I boast in my weaknesses, in my infirmities, in my troubles. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. And then in Psalm 84, it continues saying, the rain also covers it with pools of water in the valley through the rains that come. In my spiritual experience, I discover it's not a dry, barren land, but it becomes something more. Because of the house of God, there is life in the desert. And it says, verse 7, they go from strength to strength. And this pictures a believer becoming spiritually stronger, again, through the valley, through the trial. So God does a work in the wilderness, amen? That there is grace for you in the wilderness. He goes before you and prepares a way. He opens the rock and will bring forth water at the right time in the wilderness. He is not separate, but he is with us. We may not sense or understand his work now, but we will later. And those patriarchs of old, they would look back to their wilderness experiences. They would have memorials there in Bethel and Peniel and these different places. They would remember where they met God in the wilderness. It's where God makes you what he wants you to be. That's where you make it a spring, a fountain. We're not getting through this by our own strength, but by his strength. Oh, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. They will pass through the valley of Baca and they will make it a spring, a fountain Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this time in the Word, these considerations, recognizing your continued work in our lives, on the mountaintops, in the valleys, in the wilderness times. We believe by faith, confessing your promises and the principles in the Scriptures that you are working in our lives. And we thank you by faith. We thank you for this season. And we say, oh Lord, show yourself to us. Show us your hand in a personal way to encourage and strengthen us going forward, we pray. Perhaps there's someone listening this morning, you're not sure if you're a Christian, or it's very simple. Jesus is the Savior, and you are the one he saves. And that happens by faith in him, what he has done for you. Not in your works, for we cannot be saved by works, but only by his grace. And in your heart say, Jesus, save me today. Save me by grace through faith. And use these thoughts and this word to encourage and bless and strengthen us in the way. In Jesus' name, amen.